Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Shippensburg Covenant Brethren Church. It's great to see everybody here. If you're a visitor, we would encourage you to come each and every Sunday if you're looking for a church. And it's really great to have everybody here. We're going to praise God now in song.
And I will worship.
may be seated. We now come to our time of scripture reading. I will be reading from the New King James Version, Psalm 119, 9 through 16. Psalm 119, 9 through 16. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies. And much as in all riches, I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. May God bless the reading of his word. And now I'm going to invite Bob Apple, our morning speaker from the Gideons, to come up. And I've known Bob probably a little over 8 years now, and just want to give a little background on him. Bob is not a pastor. One thing people ask me about the Gideons, if there's pastors, and we're not pastors. Bob received his bachelor's and master's degree from Penn State University, so after 6 weeks of being sad, I think Bob was happy yesterday. His career was a teacher, and he culminated being a principal in the Midwest School District in Middleburg, Pennsylvania. The church he currently attends is his membership at the Chapman Community Chapel in Port Treverton, Pennsylvania, where he has served as a Sunday school superintendent, a Sunday school teacher, and the church board president. He is married to Gloria. They have 3 children, 2 daughters, 1 son, and 4 grandchildren. And Bob is very active in the Snyder County Gideon Camp. He serves on the church assignment and Gideon Card Bible programs. He is currently serving as the Gideon Camp President for Snyder County, and he has participated in scripture distributions to India, Albania, and Nigeria. And the best way that I can describe Bob from meeting him over these years is he is like the ever-ready bunny. This man is a busy man and dedicated to the Gideon ministry like probably no one else I've met. So, Bob, it's great to have you here this morning.
Breaking news delivered by a dog. You heard Gideon's talk about where they place scriptures. You'll understand in a minute. There's a young man in Peru. He was in college. Close to graduation time, he comes out of class. There's some men handing out books like this. They do this over at Shippensburg University on a regular basis, too, I guess you know. But, you know, in these other countries, many times, they don't call this a New Testament or a little Bible like we do, but they call it the book that tells about Jesus. This young man gets this book that tells about Jesus as he leaves class, and he reads it, and he reads it, and he reads it. Eventually, he gets to the back. He's signing. He's transforming his life, turning his life over to Jesus. He graduates from college and takes a job as a mining engineer. He didn't know one other Christian. He thought, I'd like to study the Bible with somebody. So he puts a sign outside above his door, gives free Bible lessons. Well, nobody came. Nobody came. Then one day it was a pouring down rainstorm. During that rain, he noticed water seeping in from the ceiling. Soon the floor was covered with water. He caught himself opening up the door and bailing out the water by the bucketful. While he was doing that, an old shaggy-looking dog came through that open door. Of all things to pick up, picked up this little book. Goes out the door, carrying his teeth. Gilly, the mining engineer, thought, my, I need my little Bible. So he goes running after the dog. Of all places for the dog to go to, goes into a noted witch doctor's house. He thought, I can't win there or I'll be cursed. He turned around and went home. Of course, he didn't have his little Bible. But you know, about a month later, knock comes to the door. Do you still give free Bible lessons? I don't know what he would have done if it wouldn't have been the witch doctor. He didn't have a Bible, but it was the witch doctor. He said, the strangest thing happened here the other week. A pouring down rainstorm, an old, ugly dog came into my house and dropped off this little book. I've been reading about Jesus. Could you tell me more about Jesus? that day, the witch doctor changed his life. And you know, over a period of weeks, the witch doctor brought some others over. One day, he brought his niece over. And the niece, the witch doctor's niece, accepted Jesus, got married to the mining engineer, and he's serving as a pastor there in Peru, delivered by a dog. What does Isaiah 55:11 say about God's word? It will not return to him empty or return to him void. So it is a privilege for me to be here. And I want to thank you for the opportunity to come to share for a few minutes. Some of you missed a good Sunday school class this morning. Someone talking about joy. Where's that? There's that joyful person. Joy unspeakable and full of joy, right? And then I found out there's a person that knows where I live at. How many of you know where Mount Pleasant Mills, Pennsylvania is? What about the rest of you? Shame on you. I was in Calcutta, India. A person knew where Mount Pleasant Mills was. But if you want to get some information about Mount Pleasant Mills to know where Potato Valley and Buckwheat Valley and Corn Cob Hill and Heaster Valley, check with this lady up front. She rode the same bus. You said you rode the bus, right? As my aunt. And if you question anything I'm saying, check with, is it Louise? I want to say Kaufman, but it's Helm now, right? and I want to, I don't know where the pianist is, but you're blessed to have someone playing that piano. My wife does not travel with me Sunday mornings because that's where she's in one of the musical instruments at church. That's more valuable than to have a leader of a church board and so forth. That person is dealing with music, so keep that up. I hope the people appreciate it. Mike, I can't thank you enough for giving me the invite to come down here, and I think we have Bill Lape here, maybe some other Gideons, and I hope I'll represent our organization well here this morning. I appreciated the song, Wonderful Words of Life, ties in with this. And he read, sometimes I'll comment to the people, do you want me to read Psalms 119? Now, he read a portion of it. Do you know what's neat about Psalms 19? What can you tell me about Psalms 119? It's long, like 176 verses, I think. Even you know that, Louise, right? And do you know what the shortest chapter is in the Bible? That's the shortest verse, and usually I get that. But do you know what the shortest chapter is? It's, my hearing is terrible. Maybe someone say it's 2 before 119, Psalms 117. Then I'm up in Potter County here the other week, and I find that Psalms 117 is the middle chapter of the Bible, too. I didn't count them out, so don't tell me I'm wrong, but that's what I was told. Do you know what the middle verse is of the Scripture? And this intrigued me. The middle verse of the Scripture is between those two chapters in Psalms 118, verse 8, I'm told. And basically paraphrasing it states, it's better to put your trust in God rather than man. A great center verse for the Scripture. But the verse that I want to give you this morning that we'll dwell on a little is 1 Corinthians 15:58. And I have this memorized in the King James. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for this privilege that we do have to share for a few precious moments with these people here this morning in Shippensburg, Pennsylvania. Lord, we ourselves are incapable to be behind this sacred desk. We need your help, so just give us the testimonies. Give us the words that you want us to share. And if there is someone here this morning that doesn't know the Jesus of this book that the witch doctor didn't know about, we just pray that they'd come to Mike or to one of the leaders here at the end of the service. And Lord, for those of us that know the Jesus of this book, we just pray that we'd be encouraged to do as much as what we can for you and realize when we're working for you, our work is not in vain. So just have your guiding hand upon us, and we'll thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. You know, typically when a Gideon comes, they'd share how this is your missionary. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year for about a six-year period. This book is in a lodging room in a motel. I can't be as confident in stating that anymore. Because there's some motels that are making it difficult for us to have them in the rooms. You want to pray for us in that endeavor. I know letters were sent out from some of the major headquarters that stating to the individual managers, you no longer have to have the Holy Bible in the book for inspections. It used to be, I know Hampton Inn there in our area, they gave us a call. They couldn't open the Hampton Inn before they had the inspection. One of the things in the inspection was to have a Bible in the room. That's not the case with a lot of the major chains anymore. In most cases, they stated you don't state you can't have it there, but you do not have to have it there. And then it's up to the local group of Gideons to persuade them to have that Bible there in the room. And you and I know that a number of these motel chains, they aren't operated by people who were raised here in the States. From these other countries, their religious belief different. So it's a challenge for us to keep that in the room. And I know God can direct you when you check in the motel and say, hey, call the front desk, you need a Bible. But I think you'd agree with me, many more people would be touched by it if we could keep that in the individual room. So if you stop in a motel, there's a Bible in that room. Thank them at the front desk there's a Bible there. If there's not one there, tell them you're disappointed that it's not a Bible in the room. You know, in addition to these being in the motels, we have them in cruise ships, airlines, attorney offices. Our wives, a very important part of the ministry, place them in the dentist and physician offices. And then we have a large print. I'm sure those of you that visit someone in the hospital or convalescent home may have seen it's the New Testament and Psalms. And then the Small Testament, the New Testament, Psalms and Proverbs, we hand out to those people being inducted in the military, school children, fifth grade on up, college students, those working in the health fields, the hospital, EMTs, firefighters, policemen. We're making, and this testament, to place it in other countries now, costs us in the average $1.61. Motel Bible costs us $5 to be printing and placing that. And we're doing this between the large print and the two sizes I showed you, about a million copies every 6 days. Even if the dog gets his teeth in a copy, can change a life. So lives are being changed as a result of these books going out. That's typically what a Gideon speaker shares. And out in Fort Wayne, Indiana, there was a speaker there sharing. And a person in the back, probably about the seat where this motorcycle repairman is that I met when I came in, said he knows where Mount Pleasant Mills is. He comes up, but this person happened to be a Gideon. He came up from the back. His name was Bill Emmerich, and he said, you didn't mention anything about the prison ministry. Now, I should have stated, when we take, after it's in a motel for 6 years, usually a little ragged, or maybe before that it's marked up and so forth, we take it out, but we don't throw it away. We give it a life sentence. We place it in prison, give it to an inmate. And Bill Emmerich shared how he used to go to the Fort Wayne, Indiana prison every Saturday morning for 25 years. And he said this one week, he got a call from the sheriff the middle of the week and wanted to know if he could have his picture taken when he was handing out his recycled motel Bibles to the inmates. And he shouldn't have agreed to this, but he did. I mean, the Gideons take a low-key approach when it comes to publicity. Like, most of you have a general idea where I'm from, up there in the Sealands Grove, Sunbury area, little town, Mount Pleasant Mills, 104, 11 and 15, 81 coming down. I didn't see a one sign that says, become a Gideon, only costs $110, good investment. Or the Gideons hand out a million copies of God's word in less than a week's time. No, I didn't see signs like that. And I don't think you've seen pictures of Gideons in the newspaper. We take a low-key approach. Not everyone appreciates what we're doing, like you people do here. So Bill Emmerich agreed to it. It didn't turn out anyhow, but he shouldn't have really agreed to have his picture taken. I'm assuming it was probably November, and the sheriff was running to be reelected for office, and he wanted to be get some free publicity. But so Bill Emmerich goes there that morning. He hands out these recycled motel Bibles to the inmates, and I'm giving what we call a stewardship report this morning for the Gideons. You go to a prison, you give a gospel message. So Bill takes the front part here, some key verses, help in time of need, and then speaks from the Gospel of John. He speaks for about an hour, gives an invitation. Nobody responds, so he's going to go home. Sheriff said, no, speak a little longer. So he didn't have 10 different messages. He just had the one message. He goes back again, this help in time of need section, and the Gospel of John speaks to about 10 o'clock, gives an invitation. No response. He's headed home again. The sheriff said, no, please speak a little longer. Now keep in mind, he'd captive audience. I don't think the doors are locked here. You can walk out and me if I speak too long. But he speaks for that third hour. Help in time of need section, Gospel of John, 11 o'clock. Opportunity to respond. Nobody responds. He's basically out the door this time, going to go home. Sure, I said, no, please, speak a little longer, still morning. I'll call the photographer again. Well, he spoke for the fourth hour, help in time of need section, Gospel of John, opportunity to respond. Nobody came. He goes home, tells his wife, I just wasted my entire morning at the Fort Wayne, Indiana prison. Did he waste his entire morning? Was he discouraged? What ministry has the Lord called you into? I get into Philadelphia different times. And, you know, we think we have challenges that with the ministries we're part of. Then I hear about these people who are out in the street, preaching, and the discouragement that can come there and so forth. Even other Christians making fun of them out doing what they are. And maybe you're involved with prison ministry. And I tell you, if you are, and it was a challenge these last few years with the COVID situation, but some people will make fun of you. They'll say, oh, that's jailhouse religion. You can't rely upon that. I'm not saying they don't deserve to be there. But I've been to some very good prison services. One of the best ones I was ever to was in the Alawood complex there, a little north of Lewisburg. And I happened to be there on a Palm Sunday. And those inmates were getting up sharing how, hey, we got a captive audience this week. We can tell them what happened to the cross. We can tell them about the resurrection. You don't have a captive audience, but you still have the opportunity to share about Jesus. But so if you're involved in prison ministry, keep it up. Keep praying. You won't always see immediate results. Convalescent home ministries. I don't know how many of you are going out to convalescent homes. Heads will be nodding and so forth. You wonder, am I accomplishing anything? I was out in Huntington County, and Galen Kling comes up to me and said, Bob, he said, I have to tell you what happened. He was convalescent home on a Sunday afternoon. A 94-year young lady accepted Christ as her Savior as a result of being there sharing in the service. Maybe you're involved in teaching Sunday school class, teaching vacation Bible school, a good news club. Youngsters don't behave like you'd prefer. Am I really accomplishing anything? Can get discouraged. You ladies are great as far as holiday time is coming up. You'll be getting pies and cookies out to those that can't get around as well as you. Maybe you don't get the thank yous that you did at one time. You wonder, am I really, should I be doing this? You're inviting someone to church. They tell you they'll come, they don't. Next Sunday they'll come, they don't. My. Is what I'm doing worthwhile? You're praying for someone. You number a prayer request. You know, I'm feeling you're like the area where Louise came from. We aren't as patient as what we should be sometimes. We pray this morning, we expect immediate results within a few days. But sometimes that's not the Lord's plan. We should pray for the Lord's will to occur. Well, Bill Emmerich told his wife what he did. And you know, 16 years later, he's downtown Cleveland, Ohio, handing out gospel tracts in a street corner. This one person comes down the street. He says, are you a Gideon? He must have seen his emblem. And Bill said, yes, I am. Why do you ask? And the person's name was Len Schellenbacher. He said, sheepishly hangs his head, you see, the Gideons have something to do with my salvation. You see, I was in prison. He says, Fort Wayne, Indiana, and I can't tell you who he was, but there was a Gideon there that morning. He spoke for four solid hours. Do you think Bill started paying attention? Then Schellenbacher said, when I went back to my cell, he said, those verses at the front were just what I needed. And he said, I prayed, and I accepted Jesus. And he said, when I was released from prison, I led my wife to the Lord. A son, a daughter, a brother, and a sister, plus Len himself. He found out 16 years after he told his wife he wasted his entire morning that he impacted six lives. 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I don't know what ministry the Lord has called you into. But whatever that is, you be faithful. You won't always see immediate results. You won't always see results 16 years later. When I was in Nigeria, you know, most of the people in Nigeria, they thought if they weren't a Muslim, they were automatically a Christian. They'll tell you they were born a Christian. Probably because their parents and grandparents were Christians, they thought they were. and you talk to them, go to the back of the book, we pull out some special verses. One of them is 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. I'm paraphrasing here, but how died, was buried for 3 days, rose again according to the scripture. About halfway through that, different people said, I wasn't born a Christian, and they'd pray to accept Christ as their Savior. But many times we don't see those immediate results. It's great and it's courageous when we do, but the important thing is that you're faithful. You won't know till you get to heaven. I mean, Gideon's over here in Shippensburg. Maybe someone just took a copy, but they had no intention of reading it. But because of that, they accepted Christ, and they'll come up to Mike Kreider up in heaven and say, hey, you remember when you were there at Shippensburg, and I got that Bible from him. Because of that, I accepted Christ. Someone was here 2 weeks ago when the speaker was here. They get out. You didn't have a chance to talk to them through a message that was shared. They changed their life. We won't know till we get to heaven, the lives we've impacted. And Mrs. Joyful back here, or Miss Joyful, you keep being joyful. You don't know how many people you're encouraging with that smile and telling them how much you love them and so forth. So whatever ministry the Lord has called you into, you be faithful. If you forget everything else Bob Apple says this morning, keep in mind 1 Corinthians 15:58 and the Bill Emmerich testimony. I could tell you about coming back from Erie. Usually I go a great distance to speak. We'll go with a carload. But it didn't work out that morning. We have a big meal back home, and I'm coming back from Erie. It wasn't a friendly group like you people are here. And before I got to Interstate 80 coming down 79, I thought, why am I doing this? Then I thought about Bill Emmerich in 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's move on. Country of Albania. Albania, a little country next to what was Yugoslavia. About 2 years before the Yugoslavia breakup, Albania broke away from the USSR. They were so small and insignificant, you didn't hear much about the size of the state of Maryland. Most communistic of all the leaders, I guess, at that time, a fellow named Hoxie. Had him persuaded Russia was going to destroy them one time, and then the United States. But what was different, and I was warned about this before I went there, and you don't realize how much you rely on head nodding to, you know, a situation like I was. They say part of Romania or Bulgaria is that way too. But all of Albania, when you nod your head this way, it's no. When you shake your head this way, it's yes. And I was lost. We were outside the police barracks. I think we're getting no place. And all of a sudden, the doors would open. You go in outside. They call our, what we call the army is the land forces. You'd be outside, and all of a sudden, the doors would open up where I wasn't in tune. I kept forgetting. And I wish I could tell you I was part of this distribution. I wasn't. But 6 weeks after we left there, and incidentally, Albania's about 75 to 80% Muslim. 6 weeks after we left, this testimony came in. And before I tell you that, if any of you think you'd like to become part of the ministry and make you rich here in this life, forget about it. We went to Albania. There were five of us from the USA, one from Northern Ireland, one from Sweden. You pay for your transportation, your airfare. You're paying for your lodging, for your meals. And you know what they asked us the first night? Would we pay for the salaries of the local Gideons that were taken off work? You'd think they would have given us a few dollars. We found out how much they were making, and we gladly paid for their salaries for that week. Want to know if we'd have a pastor's appreciation banquet that Friday night? Well, sure. Well, then it's up to you seven to take care of it. It didn't cost $20, $25 a plate like it might here, but don't think you'd like to be a Gideon and make you rich here in this life, but there are many rewards. I didn't meet one Gideon over there that had an automobile. They couldn't afford it. But this one church that was about an hour's drive north of Tirana, which is the capital where we spend most of our time, there were enough men and women in that church where the Bible was being preached in basically a Muslim area. They formed a local group of Gideons, and they got Bibles there. How'd they get Bibles there? Somebody from a church like this gave $1.61. Someone gives $161, provided 100 of them. They had Bibles. And one girl was there with that local church they were part of. They paid for the bus fare to send them out. And then there was one girl at this church, and at this school, she said, I'm not a member here. May I still have a copy? They told her she could. She took that copy, and she read it, and she read it. Eventually, she comes to the back. She's signing that she's accepting Christ as her Savior. What should we do when we change our lives? Be quiet about it or tell others? Louise, tell others. See, she can talk even though she's from Potato Valley, right? Who was she going to tell? She tells four of her good friends. And they said, well, give us a copy. Give us one. No, she couldn't. She only had the one copy. But then after much pleading, she carefully tears out the book of Matthew, gives her this one, book of Mark, this one, book of Luke, book of John. Gave those four girls, said in 2 weeks she's changed. You know what happened after 2 months, or I wouldn't be sharing this. Four other young ladies accepted Christ. $1.61 changed 5 lives. That's a pretty good investment. Let's assume the next year then, there's a Gideon speaker here, and they talk about some cards. And you have a display in the foyer area, I think, in recognition, thinking of you, in memory cards. And back about 10, 12 years ago, I wouldn't be sharing this here, but I'm speaking close to home. Pastor said, you have to share with the people about those cards up front like you did at the end. And I'm going to take the time in detail. But my wife and I don't purchase many of these cards anymore. Through giving one to my aunt who taught Sunday school class faithfully at the Exeter Bible Church outside of Reading, she was just so thankful. She said it was the best gift she ever got. And what it amounts to, there's an envelope inside. Ours would have a Sylms Grove address. And yours down here has a Shippensburg address. I must admit, I pulled one out I shouldn't have from back close to home of Bloomsburg. But anyhow, it's an address here you can send it to. There's a card that you fill out. And it's based upon the cost of the motel Bible. It costs us $5 to place a Bible in a motel. And based upon that cost, and I know when with Aunt Sadie, we made it for 5 Bibles. We send her a check of $25 off in this envelope that had a Sylms Grove address in for us, and there's a place along the side. Now, this doesn't have $3.99 or $5.99 at the bottom. The cards are free. They tell me I can't use that word in the city of brotherly love, but the cards are free when you get them. When you use it, we want you to give for one or more of these, and that's $5 each. That gets sent there. You give this to the person, and you'd be surprised the thank yous you get. I give it to this person. They thank me. Makes me feel good. Well, she gets it, feels good, makes me feel, most of all, someone's getting a copy of a Bible. Maybe wouldn't get one otherwise. And when my mother passed away with the in-memory card, she and my dad were Gideons. Every brother's Gideon in York County. But I can't talk to her about it. The night before she passed away, she squeezed my hand. Make sure you tell people to give for Bibles. There was money given for more than 600 of these Bibles. Some of those went to India, probably. Some to Ukraine, some to an African country, maybe some here to Shippensburg, one of the motels. But lives are still being changed because of what people gave in memory of my mother's life. So I'd encourage, they're thinking of you cards, Eric, can be used as get well. And if any of you are like me, you don't like to go shopping, we use them when it comes birthdays and Mother's Day and Father's Day. My wife uses it. We get a lot of Bibles going out because of people using the Gideon card program. So, 2 years later, they have Bibles over there in Albania again. And through people using the card programs, church offering, those Gideons go out to hand out scriptures. They happen to come to this one school where that girl was part of. And she gave it to 4 others. One of those 5 came out. She said, you mean I'll get my own copy? You mean each of my friends will get a copy? That Gideon said, yes, you'll get your own copy. Each of your friends will. Even though that Gideon is very poor, because of what we do here in the States, we get Bibles going out to people in 199 different countries, 198 outside of the USA. So God's word is going out, changing lives. Do you think everyone is happy when they get one of these scriptures? Like, I was in New York City here September 15th, I guess it was. Do you think the people just come on the street and say, oh, we're so glad you're here handing out Bibles. That's what we need. Well, there were a few in that category, but there were many. This was shortly after the Charlie Kirk situation. So we were white supremacists, and I don't know what terminology, some of them, but we were getting God's word out. Let me tell you, Penn State, here a person comes up to this Gideon that was standing there close to the main entrance down the old main. Said, were you here last year? Well, they talked a little bit. Well, he said, it was a rainy day. And he said, I don't know who it was, but he said, I saw some of them. I thought they were good friends. He said, they were making fun of the people and said, you shouldn't be here. But he said, you people seemed so into what you were doing. Didn't the rain didn't bother you? You just continued doing it. You were dedicated. So I thought I'd take one. No intention of reading it. Well, several months later, something directed him to read it. We know it was the Lord. And he changed his life. He goes to a church. The church says, well, there's a Christian group on campus, InterVarsity. And at the time, a year later, he was president of the InterVarsity Club, thanking the Gideons for being there. I could take you down to Chile. The prison there in Chile, the Gideons used to go into once a month. South American country there, I think they had like a Bible study, maybe at 9:30, about 9 o'clock, they go around to different cells and make these books that tell about Jesus available. This one person never wanted to have anything to do with him. So this particular month, he calls the Gideon over. He said he'd like to have one. And the Gideon was a little puzzled. And he said, I tell you what, the reason I'd like it, last month you gave one to my cellmate. And I was watching him read that. And he said, I think those pages would be good for reading my cigarettes. What would you do? He's going to destroy the Bible? This Gideon was very thoughtful. He said, I tell you what, if you promise me you'll read it before you smoke it, I'll give it to you. And if this person were here, he'd say, I read Matthew and I smoked it. I read Mark and I smoked it. I read Luke and I smoked it. I got to John and John smoked me. Said some key verses in John. He changed his life. Eventually, he's released from prison. He gets a job. He becomes a Gideon. And now I understand he's become a pastor. He got this book for no good reason whatsoever. But this book is different. It changes lives. So if we can get it in the person's hands, we feel it's a good chance we can have a life changed. Million copies going out every 6 days. Why am I here this morning? To encourage you to pray for us. Have us here on an annual basis. I don't know how many of you have a GPS. But the GPS that I'm going to refer to looks a little bit different. This is a GPS. God's plan of salvation. I can be in Philadelphia, which happens about 2 times every 3 months probably. Not quite once a month anyhow. And I'll get confused and I'll say, hey, I get lost on here, but I got a GPS to heaven. Tells you here at the front if you ever feel discouraged or lonely, what page to go to. If you don't like to read a lot, would you at least read the last 2 pages? And they aren't from Albania. Usually they'll nod their head yes. And okay, and if they know Christ their Savior, I'll encourage them to share it with someone else. If they don't, this is for them. This is a GPS to heaven. If you'd like to get involved in handing out GPSs, check with me afterwards. You've become a Gideon. Cost for the man is $110. For a lady is $55. And you become a friend of the Gideons. Some people can't be Gideons. You have to be at least 21 years of age. You have to be a member of the church. You can't be a pastor. We lost four Gideons over the last 4 years in Snyder County because they became pastors. It's a layperson's group. But if you'd like to become involved in handing out GPSs, check with me afterwards. And the cards out here, I'd encourage you ladies to pick up some of these cards. You'll use them much quicker if you have them at home. And pray for us, most of all. There is an insert in your bulletin. There's a few good testimonies there. If any of you feel led to give to the ministry, there's an address there you can send that into. I think there's a QR code there. I have a smartphone. Don't ask me how to use QR code for that. I can tell you how to write a check and put it in there if you're interested in doing that. But anything that's given goes for the purchase and placement of scriptures. And I want to leave you with a verse. And you already heard it about 3 times. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Thank you very much. I don't want you to think I didn't enjoy that song, and I appreciate that you stood when you sing Standing on the Promises instead of sitting on the premises like some people do sometimes. But I cannot hold a tune when it comes to singing, so I deliberately did not open my mouth, even though I really like that song. I come from a musical family, but it's all inside of me if there's any there yet. So let's pray. Father, we're thankful for this privilege to be able to worship together this morning. Just pray that we might go out of here realizing that the world is our mission field. And Lord, that we'd be willing to share what Christ has done for us with others. Lord, we're kind of approaching the Thanksgiving season. We have so many things to be thankful for. And then the Christmas season with the celebrations. It's a great time to be able to share with others what Jesus means to us. So just help us to be able to do that. And may we go forward realizing that when we're working for you, our work is not in vain. Whatever ministry the Lord has called us into, let's be faithful until the end. And Lord, we can't thank you enough. And just as we shared in Sunday school, we have so, so much to be thankful for. And we should be joyful about it and share that joy with others. Just be with us throughout this day. In your name we pray. Amen.